Okay, it's 7 o'clock. We'll go ahead and get started this evening. I'm Paul Toot. I'm the chairman of the Story County Board of Supervisors. On my right here is Wayne Clinton, and on his right is Rick Sanders, the vice chair.
Did you push the button?
Yes, I pushed the button. Thank you. We're good to go. We're here this evening to, the board is to take input from the public on a proposed ban on e-cigarettes, if you would. The county's got a proposed ordinance. There's some copies of it on this table over here as your first walk in. And we started this process, I think, in late January and received a lot of feedback from the public, and we decided it would be best to kind of put the brakes on, and we committed to have a couple of public input sessions, and this is the second. We had one Monday evening in Nevada, and this is our second and final one, I think. So we're going to go ahead and get started this evening. I will ask anybody if they've got a cell phone to go ahead and put that on silent or vibrate if they would. And I'm going to have our county attorney, Stephen Holmes, come up here, and he's going to kind of give us a an overview of our ordinance. There is some pending legislation in the State House this year, but we're not quite sure where that's at or where it's going to end up. So we're just going to go ahead and proceed as we had scheduled. So Stephen, if you'd like to come up.
Thank you to the board and welcome to everyone in attendance this evening. At the meeting in Nevada, the board requested that I do a little background concerning the status of pending litigation, or not litigation, but pending legislative action in Des Moines. And I'd like to preface my remarks this evening by saying that I just happened to be home at the time of the 6 o'clock news this evening, and the local CBS affiliate in Des Moines carried a news story from the East Coast featuring a report from the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control. And this report was to the effect that calls to the CDC concerning nicotine poisoning had increased over 215% from about the same time last year in 2013. This was a report that was from February, if I recall correctly, of 2014, and they compared it to September of 2013. And there was one reported case in 2013, and there were 215 reported cases of nicotine poisoning in 2014. And the report was not all that specific, but the reporter did say that the large percentage of the poisoning, nicotine poisoning, were in children 5 and under. Now, it did also feature a parent of a child who had suffered from nicotine poisoning. The report was vague. It inferred or implied that the children are somehow having access to the substances which are added to the devices which are used to simulate smoking. And there are quite a range. I almost this evening was going to bring with me some examples to illustrate to the board and to the members of the public what this is. But essentially, for an e-cigarette, it looks sort of like in olden days with a cigarette with or a cigar with a tip. And it's approximately 5-6 inches long, and you add to it from a small bottle that you purchase. It's probably just an ounce or two that costs about $4. And these bottles that you can purchase range in a wide variety of substances. Some of them contain nicotine of considerable quantities, all the way down to nicotine of no quantity. And I think that for the board's purposes, that's one of our considerations this evening. Now, turning to just a brief synopsis of what I understand has taken place in the legislature. I got my hands on, there are really two files, House File 2034, which was one of the first ones that was brought to my attention, one of the first legislative attempts brought to my attention. After receiving a language from an ordinance which is in effect in Linn County. Linn County has the only nicotine ordinance in effect in the state of Iowa at this time. House File 2034, as opposed to the ordinance which we received and which we worked on and presented at the first meeting for approval, I think I'd like to contrast terms. The ordinance which we voted on first basically broke down these products into two categories. They broke them down into the what we called as the nicotine delivery system, and also into unregulated product containing nicotine. I think it's important that we recognize that there are nicotine products not necessarily related to an electronic cigarette or a device that simulates smoking. Now, in 2034, which was one of the first proposals, they classified it as smoking simulation device. And they went on to define that device by using quite a wide range of adjectives speaking to anything with a heating element, a battery, electronic circuit, any cartridge, atomizer, component. It was very detailed. And then they went on to further define what that device would be by saying an electronic cigarette, electronic cigar, an electronic cigarillo, an electronic pipe, an electronic hookah. I personally like the word hookah, but that's probably for another time. Then in 2034 spent a great amount of time defining tobacco products. And I was rather taken back by the care and the thoughtfulness that went into this rather elaborate definition. I was greatly impressed at the thoughtfulness of it. Well, after I read down through 2034, it gets to the final section of it, which I think dealt with the taxation concerning these products being eliminated. So that definition was interesting to me, but then apparently the taxing element must have run into some conflict in Des Moines. And so another House File, 2109, appeared. And 2109, you have in front of you in two forms. 2109, the original version, is about four pages. 2109, as it presently sits, is 12 pages. And again, now from 2034, and even from our ordinance, thinking back now how we've defined it, we've defined it, remember, as a nicotine delivery system. And we've also defined it as an unregulated products containing nicotine. Well, now 2109 has changed again, and now it's classified as an electronic smoking device, which is then defined. And it has a similar language referring to the taxation in it, but then it also addresses issues such as the manner of sale, compliance checks, penalties, samples. It goes into definitions on page 2, speaking about prohibiting anyone under the age of 18 from using or possessing it, but it does not provide for a penalty section in this particular bill. It does provide for penalty sections for retailers in this particular bill. And it goes on to define, I think, a little bit more accurately or a little bit better, that you cannot make these devices available to the public in a self-service display. You can't give away any of these electronic smoking devices. And then it goes on with some other particulars that really are more technical, dealing with if a county or a city enacts its own ordinance or legislation and enacts its own penalties. If those penalties aren't in effect by a particular date, then the state sections apply. And so let me skip to the version that I understand to be presently under discussion at the House, which is 2109 revised. It's now 12 pages. And now we have yet another set of definitions. Now the phrase alternative nicotine products or vapor products has appeared. Alternative nicotine product in quotation marks on the first page, and vapor product distinguished in yet another section. And then it goes on to essentially recap earlier attempts in the previous proposed legislation dealing with keeping it out of the hands of anyone under the age of 18. It also goes to define tobacco products, and it adds in a new phrase, alternative nicotine products, again, vapor products or cigarettes. And a number of those that you see in front of you that are underlined are apparently issues that are amendments that have not been acted upon. And it also adds a section dealing with the retailer who has a reasonable belief that a person presenting a false or altered ID, that they can seize and keep the ID. It does, again, speak about the retailer in greater detail concerning the permits required, the permitting process, which is similar. And it goes into greater detail toward the end, referring to the various penalties that would be imposed against a retailer or an employee of a retailer, which we covered. That, as it sits, as I understand it, is we checked with one of the representatives today to get a status of the likelihood of this passing. And it was questionable, just to say that its fate was not certain. At least perhaps in this form it's not certain. So that apparently, or that to my knowledge, is an update and a current status as quickly as I can synopsis it for you of the legislation that has been presented and is pending in Des Moines, and then, of course, what we have drawn up. Any questions?
No. Again, I just want to thank you again for taking the time, and obviously, you know, as I get a chance to kind of look back through this, it just further clarifies for me the ongoing challenge that people who are trying to get a grip on this issue and trying to define what we're talking about in this type of product seem to have difficulty in coming up with a definition or a clarification that could be easily applied. And so the issue appears again to be if it's a smoking device or a simulated smoking device or whatever it is, whether or not they are wanting to make sure that retailers have a responsibility to make certain that minors do not have easy access to it. I think that is the overriding principle by what I think we're trying to really get at. And if it looks like a duck, like a duck and all that, you know, we've gone down that path before. So my concern more or less is from a county standpoint, working with our retailers, working with our policy prevention board, working with all like-minded citizens that are concerned about the health, safety, and welfare of our youth, is what is it that we can do as a community to impress upon people why it's important that we try to limit access for minors for these types of products. So that's, you know, so I do appreciate what you have brought to us at this time.
Well, let me add just this short caveat. What I'm encouraged of in seeing the revision at 2109 is they seem to be coming closer to what we have been considering here. Mm-hmm. That is to say, they've divided these products into essentially devices and unregulated products containing nicotine. And I think that's encouraging, and I think that's complementary to the ordinance, the proposed ordinance that we have, because I think it's more inclusive. I do think that there are weaknesses that I see in 2109 that we're attempting to address and that we've spoke of previously, which have to do with the fact that from a law enforcement perspective, if any of the devices or any of these products, well, not the products so much, but if any of the devices can be lawfully possessed by a minor, that law enforcement won't be able to do its job. So, again, my inclination is to modify the wording that we have. Mr. Sanders suggested a simulated smoking device instead of focusing on nicotine delivery system. And we can certainly define what a simulated smoking device is. We can also, the unregulated product or products probably containing nicotine incorporate the body of products that are not cessation products. And although I have heard argument to the effect that the electronic cigarette or its progeny are being touted as cessation products, they are not recognized by the FDA as cessation products. And until and if they do, wording to that effect would still validate any ordinance or any statutory attempt on our part. And I think it would be wise when we're considering these. I've tried to use caution in terms of the structuring of the wording in my previous discussions with you, and I continue it today. It's somewhat different, and again, I'll lapse back to the alcohol, the keg ordinance. That dealt with the vessel, the keg. It didn't deal with alcohol. Alcohol was a well-known product since the beginning of time. And so this, however, is somewhat different, and that's why I'm cautious, because in studying this, and in seeing how the wording has changed in the legislature, it just reinforces my own sort of inhibitions about lunging into this too quickly. Now, I wish I could tell you that the legislature is on the verge of action, but I can't give you that language, or I can't give you that indication at this point in time. So, as it sits presently, I still would like a little bit more time to finalize some wording. Not long, but I think that having seen the several attempts in the legislature and having discussed it, I think I'm much closer to being satisfied or being comfortable with picking some language. So.
Well, Stephen, I really appreciate the work that you've done in bringing us up to speed. And I got to tell you, I'm a real fan of the draft that you and Jessica Reynolds have put together of what a potential ordinance could look like. I appreciate that there'll still be some tweaking of language. I just have one question, and it hit me as you were going through and reporting on what the state's trying to do. Unless I'm misreading it, I don't see anything in our draft ordinance that would preclude a minor possessing these items, nor does it address any kind of penalty for those minors. Is that something that we would need to look at having in any ordinance we might pass?
Well, that would be essentially a separate matter, in my opinion. It would be a criminal ordinance that you'd have to have in place. And it doesn't necessarily, and I don't think, is properly incorporated here, even though this latest modification on 2109 speaks to it.
Right.
It clearly states that there are no penalties in this particular section because this is dealt with the retailer aspect or a person who's lawful in lawful possession of this kind of a product, gifting it, giving it, selling it to a minor.
Okay.
Anyone else with any questions? Hearing none. Maybe someone else would like to.
If you'd come up,
I'll start.
Our best recording device tonight is a handheld recorder. So if you can,
does 2109 have any petition or any portions of it that require tobacco permits?
Yes.
For a seller,
yes.
It does. Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
You bet.
And I don't think I, in the beginning tonight, like I did on Monday, this ordinance of ours is really short, and I'll just read it really quickly. It says, be it enacted by the Story County, by the Board of Supervisors of Story County, Iowa, that the Story County ordinance prohibiting the sale of nicotine delivery system and unregulated products containing nicotine without a retail cigarette or tobacco products permit, restricting public access to such products and prohibiting the sale of nicotine delivery systems and unregulated products containing nicotine to minors is hereby enacted and set out in full hereafter. So that's basically what our ordinance says. And if you want to, if you don't have a copy of it, there's some up here, like I said. But the rest of it goes to some definitions of some terms that are in the actual ordinance. And then on the back page, it talks about enforcement and penalties. So the purpose of our meeting here this evening is for public input. So if there's anybody that has any questions or if they have any thoughts they would like to convey, this would be the time for you to come forward and let everybody know how you feel. George?
State your name.
Sure, if you just want to introduce yourself.
That was not working, George.
Yeah, this is what we're working on right here. So I think
George Belitzos, Executive Director, Youth and Shelter Services. I want to begin by commending our county attorney and the Board of Supervisors for considering a ordinance that would restrict the ability of minors to purchase devices that carry nicotine, or I would like to add our support that the ordinance be expanded to say smoking simulated devices. I'm speaking on behalf of our Public Policy Committee, which is a committee of our Board of Directors made up of community volunteers. We have been considering this for some time and want you to know that I'm speaking on their behalf, that they really endorse your efforts. Two things, they would like the definition of the device expanded to include not just nicotine devices, delivery systems, but smoking simulated devices. And also we, from the very beginning, have also supported and asked you to amend it to add possession by minors. I'd like to add to the concerns that Steve Holmes just gave you with regard to the spread of electronic cigarettes and similar substances that are being used in these cigarettes. They're being marketed very widely. It's almost a $2 billion business. Overnight, it's just escalated. You see advertising everywhere on the internet. Des Moines Register has ads for them. They're calling them green cigarettes. They come by all kinds of names. I just came from our drug treatment program, and I was in the boys' house just a few minutes ago before arriving here, asked how many of the kids before coming to treatment had used electronic cigarettes, and most of them raised their hands. And one of the kids said that they're easier to get than tobacco. And they are highly addictive when they contain this liquid nicotine. Now I would like to add one more concern. We have found in our drug treatment program, it's growing, it's spreading all across the country, that now they are making a liquid form of THC marijuana. It's coming out of several different states, and it's a liquid form, and it is several of our kids have used the what we will call for now simulated devices they come with the cartridges that fit right in there, and they contain marijuana. Now, here's the problem. There's no smell with it. You can't smell the tall tale smell of marijuana. You cannot, it's not unregulated. Somebody could walk down the street and be smoking it, and Nobody would be any the wiser. I've talked to a couple of other drug treatment programs, and they're seeing the same thing. This is very new, but spreading rapidly. I also would like to give the Board of Supervisors a research paper done by the CDC. It's a background paper on electronic cigarettes, electronic nicotine delivery systems, and it's contains all the research, and it was also funded by the World Health Organization. This is a problem worldwide, so I'd like to give this research information to you. The final item I would like to speak to is the fact that Story County has led the way in public health. And here again, you are leading the way. As you know, just last week it was announced that tobacco use in our state has dropped by 6%. Here in Story County, we have the lowest percent use, just under 10%, of any county in the entire state. Why does that exist? It's because Board of Supervisors, our city council, our other government entities, agencies like YSS, the schools, we are concerned about public health. And we were the first city in the state to have a smoking ordinance to ban smoking in public place. It started with our bars and restaurants. And I stood at the same podium before the city council back in 2001 when they unanimously supported that, being the first. I hearken back, as our county attorney did, to the keg registration. That was a public health issue. We had a 15-year-old boy snuck out of his bedroom here in Ames, went to a kegger, got drunk, was on the rail over, they were out in the woods, pretty much in the woods, though it was an open area with a bridge, and fell off the bridge and broke his neck. All his friends departed. The keg was left behind. Mother didn't know her son was dead or gone until she went upstairs at 10 o'clock the next morning to wake him up. Nobody called in that the kid was dead, laying in the water in the creek. That's a Story County kid. And that's what was the springboard for us to do something about kegs. And you had hearings here, and we had big turnouts, and you did the right thing. You led the way. We only have one county now that is regulating electronic cigarettes. We want Story County to be the second. The more, even if it's a patchwork quilt, even if it's not an ideal, you know, ordinance, let's get it passed. Let's do something to address this growing public health problem. We look to you to take the leadership. When enough counties have it, the state will finally come around, just like they did with the 2008 passage of the smoke-free legislation, and just like they did when Governor Culver signed the statewide registration of beer, of you know, the kegs.
What are you hearing about what's happening at the state?
I'm hearing from advocates, American Cancer, American Lung, that they basically are opposed to it because it doesn't go far enough for them, and they rather have nothing than to have a bill they can't support. I don't think anything's going to happen. As you know, Herman Kornbach has taken a leadership role. We help host press conference where the board was represented. Steve Holmes was there, talked about your ordinance. Herman talked about his efforts in the Senate to get something passed. I think they have put their best efforts into it, and it's just, I guess, too controversial for the state to take the step. Anything else? Thank you.
No, again, we just, all of us are very thankful and appreciative of your efforts and the effort of your agencies and all the different agencies that work with our youth in trying to steer them in the right path. So just continue to be a voice for change and speak out where you believe it's appropriate for the safety and welfare of our youth. We do appreciate that.
Thank you, George. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add? I would ask maybe if Stephen or Jessica would come back up. If Story, or wait a minute, here comes Senator Herman Kornbach. I see he's stuck in the back door.
Senator, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. Just sitting back, grateful for the opportunity to listen to the community's opinions on this. I want to compliment you all for your work on this and the county attorney and the county attorney's office. I think that this shows a lot of leadership from Story County, which is what I expect from my county, and you're fulfilling that. And I would hope that you would move forward on this. I will tell you, with regard to what's going on at the state level, we are still very much engaged with this issue, but I'm not in a position to try to predict what, if anything, we're likely to get done. I will say this. I think that I've got enough of key people persuaded that if we move forward, we may need to make sure that we close the non-nicotine loophole. As George was saying, as County Attorney Steve was saying, if you make the nicotine varieties illegal but keep a non-nicotine variety legal, then a kid puffing away at a street corner, an officer really has no basis for challenging them because there is a legal variety out there. So we need to close that loophole. Otherwise, it becomes a total enforcement nightmare. Now, there seems to be a couple ways to do it. One is to go after the device, the heating device, regardless of what you put in it. And I had not heard or known until George's comments tonight that people have figured out a way to put THC in there, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. That's a danger. Either that or you define the vapor product in such a way that the definition applies whether there's nicotine in the cartridge or not. So whether you go after broadly the stuff you put in it or whether you go after the heating device, one way or another, you have to close that loophole. I am reasonably confident that if the state acts, we will try to close that loophole. But I can't guarantee here tonight that we will get that done, that we will get a bill through. So please go forward. Pass this ordinance. Let's be sure that the kids in this community get protected. I'm working as hard as I can to make sure that the kids statewide get protected, but you can protect the kids in our county, and I really hope that you would do that. So do you have any questions for me?
Herman, when is session scheduled to wrap up?
Scheduled.
The per diem expense reimbursement ends about the 20th. That and corn planting time are pretty good motivators for getting the legislature out of town.
So you think another 3 weeks?
I would hope sooner than that, but usually my hopes get dashed repeatedly before we actually get a session closed down.
Okay. Thank
you. Okay.
Thank you.
Stephen, if you would come up, the question I've had asked a couple of times is why would Story County proceed with this if it looks like the state is going to pass something? So say in the next 3 weeks or 30 days, Story County passes this ordinance that or a close version of what we've got in front of us. And sometime in May, the state passes a version of what they've got. So what becomes of our ordinance at that point?
Well, as long as our ordinance is not in opposition to anything that the state of Iowa passes, or any portions of our ordinance, as long as they're consistent. They can be more stringent, they can be more strict, but other than that, our ordinance could stay in effect. We could do as we did with the keg ordinance, we could repeal it if we're satisfied with this, with what the state has prepared. So it isn't as if we are wasting our time. I mean, to me, I think George's sentiments are correct. I think pushing this issue, obviously, is important. And as I indicated right when I first stood up, having just happened to catch the national television segment from the CDC, that was extremely timely this evening for me, and pointed directly to the heart of the matter, which is that nicotine is a poison. It is a listed poison by the CDC. And so the problem with nicotine being that it's addictive, you're selling an addictive chemical. Why are you selling an addictive chemical? Especially if you're making it appealing to young people. There is no lawful reason other than money. And I think George's sentiments about the safety of our kids is paramount. And that's entirely your responsibility if you choose to take it.
Stephen, talk to me about schedule for getting this done. Because as I look at it, the soonest that we could have the third and final reading on anything would be May 6th. By the time you get something, we're able to get it on our agenda and go through the three readings, we're in May. To me, that's the quickest we could get anything finalized. Seems to me, as Herman pointed out, once corn plant season starts, they're going to be out of session. We're going to know what has happened at the state, if anything, at that point. And I'd just like to add one more caveat that I would be interested in us discussing in terms of the schedule of us addressing this. Tim Garten, I see Tim here today, he came and spoke to us Monday night over in Nevada, and I think raised a really valid, I don't even know if I'd call it a concern, he raised a really valid point that shouldn't municipalities also have an opportunity to weigh in on this? Strong believer in local control wherever possible. And so I'm just wondering if we know it can't be sooner than May 6th that we get things finalized, can we on a concurrent path make sure that we give municipalities in Story County an opportunity to weigh in as well?
Well, I was present when Tim made his comment, and it was very thoughtful.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to check with Tim, and I didn't have a chance to check with Judy Parks, the city attorney. Tim commented that this had not been brought to Judy's attention. So I don't know if there has been some informal concerns expressed to individual members of the council other than Tim's concerns. So that's certainly something that you three can consider. That would be valid if you want to make that overture during this process as we formulate the final wording, and give the city an opportunity to chime in and see if they want to do an ordinance themselves. That's entirely up to you folks.
Thank you, Stephen. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
A lot of them.
A lot of them?
Mm-hmm.
Please come on.
Well, sure, come on up.
That's why we're here.
Well, it has no consideration for internet sales. Probably 75% to 80% of the e-cigarettes sold are purchased on the internet. Okay. I just really don't know. This is a monstrous issue. Like I said, I'm 100% against selling to minors. If you go to our store, must be 18 to purchase. Great big letters on the door. I'm not against that.
Right.
Okay. But like I said, I don't know how it's going to happen.
Well, we can only control or regulate what occurs within the 24 square miles.
But I know. But if a young man buys something off the internet,
absolutely,
and he's being pressed upon by the police to say, "Where'd you get it?" and he goes, "Vape on."
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're going to come down on us. Guilty or not.
You mean if the young man identifies that he got it there rather than the internet? Is that what you're basically saying? But why would he necessarily do that if he didn't get it there?
Because he was just being pressed.
Why wouldn't he say, "I got it on the internet"?
Because he's feeling pressed. He wants an answer. He wants somebody that's going to shift the responsibility from him to somebody else.
Well, but if you have a means to say that you know that you or no one in your store sold it to him.
Well, does that mean we have to install video equipment in our store?
I don't know what that
means. And record every sale?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of things. And the thing about using it for THC, well, people have used pop cans to smoke pot, so you can't make pop cans illegal.
My personal biggest concern would be as a retailer, mm-hmm. if I was doing everything in my power to make sure that it was not accessible to teenagers, either myself or my employees, then I feel like I've done my due diligence.
And
if for some reason individuals get it elsewhere, then, you know, I know that I didn't provide it.
Yeah.
And that's the best you can hope
for. Well, that's like I said, we got it on great big bold letters on the door. You must be 18 to purchase. Okay? And we card. We refuse people all the time.
Sure.
Okay?
And I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, we want to be responsible about this. Just about every brick and mortar store follows that. If you go to any of the stores in Des Moines, you'll see no minors. Okay?
Thank you.
But I think your problem's going to be off the internet.
Thank you.
I'd ask, could I ask you a
question?
Sure. Sure. How do you know 85% of the sales are over the internet?
Because it was born on the internet. It's only been out since about 2007, and you have not seen brick and mortar stores until the last 2 years.
Do you sell over the internet?
No. Probably should, but probably need more money. Anything else?
No, I was just looking for how you know that, how you can offer evidence of that.
Well, until recently, there were probably only 5 e-cig stores in the entire state.
Thanks.
Not every day, but quite often, I always get people who come in that have purchased their stuff on the internet and do not know how to use it. And then they come in and we have to show them how to use it. But we get those all lost.
Today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So I'm waiting to have one today.
That's true.
Well, Stephen, I think that speaks to why
you've
got to find a way to get to the container.
Well, and it may speak to the person possessing. It may be that you need a criminal ordinance to prevent a person under the age of 18 from possessing the device and the commodity. That may be necessary. And I appreciate your statement. I was not able to obtain any information about the percentage of internet sales.
Well, like I said, it's only been 7 years out. And until, I think, Central Iowa E-Cig in Des Moines was the first one that opened, and they opened about a year and a half ago.
Well, I appreciate your comment.
Thank you. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen. Anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Gentlemen, anything else?
No, this was, our purpose was to hear from the residents of Story County regarding this topic. And we've certainly had a few folks that spoke to us last Monday in Nevada and appreciated them being here. And again, we appreciate all of you that are here listening to us tonight. And it doesn't mean that, you know, silence is not an indication that either you're either for or against it, but you're here because you're interested in decisions that we're contemplating and making on behalf of the health and safety of our youth in our community. And so I think that's extremely important. And but I, as the supervisors, we alluded to beginning when we started down this path, we felt it was important that we have public input sessions, that this was a topic that not only individuals might want to weigh in, but also there are those that, you know, consume tobacco products, adults and so forth, and they were concerned about whether there would be some undue restrictions based upon their freedom of choice and situations. So we wanted to make sure that what we were doing received enough input so that we could have the best clarity that we possibly could. And also, depending upon where this thing finally ends up, you know, circumstances over time changes. There are times that you have to go back and relook at situations and to determine, do you need to tweak it in some way or another? But I think we have seen, as already been alluded to, from the keg ordinance that took place some time ago, that it did have the desired effect that we had hoped, and who knows where this will go. But I do think that the board, and working with the county attorney, and working with the community, and working with the retailers in this community, we need to get everybody on the same page working together for the same common goal, mm-hmm. if at all possible.
I think, Wayne, I think you're right. The only thing I would add is we have now talked to a lot of different people, some really strongly for us passing an ordinance and some really strongly against the idea of an ordinance. But what we have not heard from any retailers, what we've not heard from anybody is a feeling that it's appropriate for these to be in the hands of minors. No, I mean, if there's anybody who believes that, I'd like to hear from them, because we've not heard that from anybody.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming out this evening, and stay tuned. We'll continue down the path. Thank you.